Our Sabbath Schools. 1880. The object of the Sabbath school should not be lost sight of in mechanical arrangements, thus occupying time which should be given to other important matters. We should ever be guarded against forms and ceremonies which will eclipse the real object for which we are laboring. There is danger of carrying the system to such an extreme that the Sabbath school will become weariness, when, on the contrary, it should be a rest, a refreshment, and a blessing. The purity and simplicity of the Sabbath school work must not be swallowed up in such an endless variety of forms that sufficient time cannot be devoted to the religious interests. The beauty and success of the school is in its simplicity and earnestness in serving God. Nothing can be done without order and regulation, but these may be arranged so as to shut out greater and more important duties. Less should be said to the scholars about the external preliminaries in system, and much more should be said in regard to the salvation of their souls. This must be made the ruling principle of the school. The old, old story of the love of Jesus, repeated by the teachers and the superintendent with the love of Jesus in the heart, will have a power that will convict and convert souls. If the love and tenderness of Jesus has touched your heart, you will be able to work for your scholars. The simplicity of the gospel must be kept in view. With help from above, we can do faithful work for the Master. The fact should be kept continually before the scholars that without heart work, all our efforts will be in vain. Affection and love should be seen in every movement of teachers and managers of the school. Cold formality should be replaced by earnest zeal and energy. The love of Jesus should so pervade the whole school that the pupils will learn to regard this as the highest education. Sternness or fault-finding should find no place in Sabbath school or day school. This should be put far from the hearts of the teachers and of all who act a leading part in the school. Pride should not be felt in the forms or mechanical workings of the school, but in the good that it accomplishes in bringing souls to Jesus Christ. Machines may be made to respond to the will of man, working with perfect exactitude, but they are destitute of souls. So with schools where formality takes a leading place, it is as marble without life. When all connected with the school have a sense of the responsibility of their work and feel that they are making efforts not only for time but for eternity, order and harmony will be seen in every department. The spirit of love and universal kindness should prevail in the college. The sanctifying power of the truth upon the heart and life should here be daily seen and felt. It should be prominent in word and action in the management of the school and should be kept before the students as a subject of the greatest importance. A spirit of kindness and tender regard should be manifested for everyone. The teachers should be learners of the highest of all teachers, that they may also bring their students to him. While the misconduct of the pupils should not be passed over without reproof and correction, yet love and sympathy should be blended with all the rules and discipline. Authority and dignity must not be rigidly manifested. If this were the attitude of God toward man, what a deplorable condition we should all be in, with our blunders, mistakes, and numerous sins. Our Heavenly Father bears long and patiently with our impenitence and rudeness, when, if he should be exacting and critical, visiting our transgressions with deserved rebuke and punishment, we should all perish. But how loath we are to bear with and excuse the mistakes and blunders of the inexperienced youth under our charge. There is no excuse for the manifestation of impatience in the teachers of our schools, from the highest to the lowest. Self must in no case be exhibited. The good of the students should ever be kept in view, and the future, immortal life, which it is their privilege to share, should never be lost sight of for a moment.
Teachers occupy a most solemn and important position in dealing with minds, and should feel that they are working for time and for eternity. In no case should they lose sight of their responsibilities or trifle with them. With dull scholars, they will have a trial and must bear patiently with their ignorance. With sensitive, nervous students, they must deal tenderly and very patiently, remembering that they are hereafter to meet these students before the judgment seat of Christ, and all the work done will be brought in review before God. God forbid that they should hear the fearful words, "I gave you charge of these youth, that you might have an opportunity to be my representative, showing forth my grace to them in kindness of manner and patience, in meekness. But you wasted the golden opportunity in building up and preserving your own dignity, and thus souls are lost that might have been saved. To do acceptable work for the Master in practicing the lesson God required you to teach them. I wish I could find language to express the importance of our college. All should feel that it is one of God's instrumentalities to make known the knowledge of Himself to man. Our teachers, ministers, and professors may have the power of Christ ruling in their hearts and exemplified in their lives. Aids to self-development must be given to the youth. They must be drawn out, stimulated, encouraged, and urged to action. And this from the highest consideration only, that they may glorify God. People must be educated to think for themselves. But even knowledge may be a power for evil as well as good, just according to the direction given to it. Therefore, men who are employed as instructors of youth must be connected with God, must be men of wisdom. Students must be impressed with the fact that knowledge alone may be a power in the hands of those who educate to destroy. If mistakes are made, he, the teacher, should kindly point them out, but he should never exaggerate them, thus intimidating the one who is willing to help, so that he will not attempt the work again. A teacher's work is to educate and discipline. He will sometimes find blundering helpers, but he should not be so ungenerous as to make their errors appear in the worst light. There is danger of allowing the judgment to become warped by prejudice in talking over the defects of teachers and students. A line of Bible history should be the foundation of knowledge. The teachers in our colleges, from the highest to the lowest grade, should have a burden for the souls of the students. They should have a spirit of wrestling with God, as did Jacob, who said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Genesis 32, verse 26. Such will be blessed in the work.